Amen. He is my friend, and I know he's your friend. Amen.
Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Amen. What a privilege.
Often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. And it's all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discourage, just take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, just take it to the Lord in prayer. And do thy friends despise, forsake thee, just take it to the Lord in prayer. And in his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there.
Let's sing that first verse again.
Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh,
what a needless pain we bear. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
God bless you, saints.
Amen. Amen.
It's a privilege to be here, and good morning to you all.
Amen.
It's definitely a blessing to be here this weekend, you know. And thank you to the musicians for the song service. And the songs were inspired by God Almighty. Amen.
Amen. They were just in line with what the Lord put on my heart. So I trust it's a blessing to you all.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother John asked me to take the service yesterday, and not being prepared, you know, and sometimes the Lord puts something on your heart, and it was kind of a surprise and a shock, but I trust the Holy Spirit takes control. That's who we're leaning on. We don't lean on our own understanding, Amen. Our own wisdom. We lean on His wisdom. So I pray that the Lord blesses your hearts this morning. And we just want to continue to pray for Sister Maureen and Brother John and them. So I don't know if anybody has a need on their heart. We can just go in prayer before we start the service. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to be here, to be counted among your bride, Lord Jesus, a special group. Lord, we are here to worship and praise you, Lord, with our human frailties, Lord Jesus, unworthy, but your grace has made us worthy, Lord. Your love that was extended to us, Lord, has allowed us to receive, oh, Lord Jesus, your spirit. Lord, bless the saints that came here this morning. Lord, every financial, physical, spiritual need that people have here, Lord Jesus, may you come down and move in a mighty way and touch their lives, Lord. Lord, we are needy people, Lord, and without you we can't do anything in this world, Lord. Lord, I pray that you may come and take control of the service. Speak to your people, Lord Jesus. May the Holy Ghost be the one speaking, Lord. Not a man, Lord Jesus, but may the Holy Spirit come and take control. Touch the lives of your people, Lord. And Lord, we pray for Sister Maureen. We thank you for touching her body. And we bless your name for doing that, Lord. We pray for Brother John also, Lord. Bless them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, in my abilities, I can't do anything here, Lord. I pray that you may come and speak, Lord. Take control. We bless your name and we commit the service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. We'll turn to Ephesians 4, verse 30. Hallelujah. Amen. I got a couple of scriptures. I'm just going to read one and have you see it, and then we'll continue on. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And it says, "And grieve not the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of your redemption." Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And then we'll turn to John 3, verse 1 through 7. He is the God of impossibilities, amen?
Amen.
And he has given us blessed assurance. So all we got to do is believe his finished work and accept it, amen? It's already done, amen? Now, John 3, verse 1 here through 7. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. And then one more scripture to lay the foundation here. John 14, verse 23 through 27. Amen. Are you blessed to be here this morning? Amen. We have victory in Jesus. Truly, that song was inspiring because I tell you, the Lord, I just couldn't contain myself in there when he started singing that song. It was truly amazing. God's Spirit moving. Amen. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, to him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come into him and make abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto thee, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto thee. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Amen. I trust you all are blessed this morning. And the title of the sermon today is The Seal of God. The Seal of God. That's the title of the sermon the Lord laid on my heart. And the subtitles is going to be Attitude, Character, and Victory. So the song was truly anointed here. Amen. How many love the message of the hour? Amen. Amen. It's a super sign for super people. Amen. Who are in a super race. Amen. We're in a super race going to glory. Amen. And the word today is manifested in you and I. Amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Amen. Now, the seal of God, you know, we all have heard the word the seal, but a lot of people sometimes tend to forget the meaning, you know. And a seal of God is something that we all need. Amen. And it's the Holy Ghost. That's the seal of God. Amen. And this morning, I trust the Lord leads me to reveal this to you as he's shared it with me. Amen. So, now, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. And the Holy Ghost is also a gift given unto the saints of God. And it's a free gift. Amen. It's up to you to accept it. It's given, and Jesus Christ has signed the pardon with his blood, and he took our place on Calvary, and now we don't have to go to Calvary. You just have to accept that gift. Amen. And it's up to you to accept it. And the Holy Ghost is for all. And the Holy Ghost also produces attributes of God. So those attributes, the character, and then there's a right attitude, and then you receive the victory through the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the Holy Ghost produces the character of Christ. So the seal, a seal is a symbol. You know, everything has a symbol. We have this water, maybe it has a the seal, and this cap was sealed. The bottle was in the office there. Before I opened it up, it was sealed. So a seal represents something that is closed until its destination. Amen. So this seal of God, the Holy Ghost, is given unto us. Amen. On this Holy Ghost journey. We are on this journey to Calvary. Amen. And we are sealed until the day of our redemption. Amen. And that is where we're going with this Holy Ghost journey. It's a seal that has been given to us, and it cannot be broken until it reaches its destination. Amen. And our destination is glory. Amen. Because we are living in a temporary home here. Amen. In this world, you know. The world might despise the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. They don't regard us. But God cherishes us. We are royal priesthood. We are children of the King. Amen. And, you know, that should make us shout for joy and thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Now, the character is formed through a journey. And I pray the Lord really helps me here. And this has been a tough weekend coming into the service today. You know, even this morning I had to fix my tire that got down. So since this weekend started, I found a few battles that were coming up. I didn't know why, you know. But the Lord had something, I guess, a blessing for the people here. Somebody is going to be blessed today. Amen. I don't know who it is, but I pray that somebody receives a blessing. Because how the devil fought me this weekend, even yesterday. You know, it was a little short time to prepare, and Brother John was like, I don't know if you'll be available to do it. And then I prepared, and then my printer didn't work. I came this morning, the tire was down. So it's like one disaster after the other. Amen. And Brother John gave the, Brother Tim, I mean, gave the testimony of his brother. I didn't hear the whole testimony, but God cares for his people. You know, we sometimes neglect that, but the little things God do, it's truly vital to our life. Amen. So victory is in store for somebody this morning. Amen. Amen. So the Holy Ghost journey is a journey to the believer. To the world, it may seem like strange, you know. It may be, you may be the only one, as Brother Bram said, one in a million. And if God came down and descended from heaven to save his bride, I believe that's for me. I'll accept it. You know, it's up to you to accept it and know that you are that one in a million. Amen. That God came for. Because, you know, the world does not see that. But in order to understand the word of God, you have to have the mind of God, which comes through the Spirit of Christ. Amen. The Holy Ghost Spirit, you know. And now this Holy Ghost produces the right attitude toward the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost also produces the character of Christ. Amen. Character is a victory. As Brother Bram said, character is not a gift. It's a victory that that you obtain on your journey, you know. A lot of people say, I want the right character, but you have to suffer with Christ in order to reign with him. You know, so the character of Christ is a victory. And to get victory, you have to fight. We are in a battlefield. Amen. As Christian soldiers. You know, any soldier on a battlefield has to take up his armor and fight the battle. And that's the tough part for the Christian walk, because humans don't want to do anything. We all love comfortability. We really love to relax. You know, I can admit that. I love to just relax, and I don't want to do anything today, you know. And that's the typical attitude. But as a Christian soldier, you've got to take your sword, which is the word, and fight the battle. Amen. And there's a holy consecrated life and sacrificial life associated with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is also a token given unto the saints of God. So I'm just laying a foundation here, and hopefully the Lord leads me to go into this the sermon as he intends for me. Now, many people want the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift from God. You know, God has many gifts he gives his people. A lot of people dwell on the gifts, but forget the life. You know, would you rather have the giver of the gift or the gift itself? You know, I'd say the giver of the gift has everything. Then the gifts, which are sometimes temporal, you know, a gift of healing can be temporary. You can be healed today, and then a month down the road, you may be sick again, and then you get healed again, and then you pass on. But if you have the giver, it's eternal. He stays with you. Amen. Amen. He's always there every time. So I want the giver of the gift, the Holy Ghost, which produces the Word of God manifested today. Amen. Now, the Holy Ghost also transforms. It does not produce some reformation, you know. Today, the world is out here trying to be reformed instead of being transformed, you know. And there's a difference between the two. Webster's Dictionary says this. Transformation, the meaning of transformation, is a thorough or dramatic change in form and appearance. So your form and appearance is totally changed. You become a new creature. Amen. A creature of Christ. Now, reformation, on the other hand, it's the action or process of reforming an institutional practice. So you're just trying to alter it instead of having a full change of appearance. Amen. So there's a difference between that. So hallelujah. I trust this is blessing you, the foundation. Amen. Now, there are many seals, as the title is the Holy Ghost, the seal of God. There are many seals in the world, you know. People call all kinds of seals, Navy seals, the seal of Satan, and people have a symbol. And a seal is associated with a name. Every seal has a name. So when you receive the seal of God, you're receiving the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's becoming a part of your life. Amen. And you are being transformed day by day. Amen. There's many seals in the world, but there's only one seal that is important to the believer. Amen. And it's the token of the Holy Ghost. That's the one that's important. Amen. A seal has a name and a meaning. And every product that you see in this world has a seal and a symbol. Now, the Holy Ghost attribute, we're going to start talking about that now. Amen. It is the journey that a believer takes. Now, there's a certain step that you have to take to receive the Holy Ghost, you know. Water, spirit, and then the life. Amen. You know, that's the natural and the spiritual, you know, when we talk about a pregnant woman, whenever she's conceived and she's ready to receive the baby, you know, you always hear people say, my water broke. So it's kind of like the first step, you know, there's water. Then the baby is born and through the blood, and then there's life. So that's the natural and spiritual. It types, every natural types of spiritual. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost produces a living attribute of Christ. You know, a lot of people just say, well, I have the Holy Ghost, I've received it. You know, how will you know you received it? There's a life associated with it. You produce the character of Christ. I'm going to read a story here, Brother Branham said, in The Angel of God, 1951, July 18th. Now, if for instance, if today I could come here as it is, very warm in the building tonight, and could paint you a picture, I could paint for you a picture on the wall of an air-cooled Arctic space or something, it would look very well. I'd say that's what was, but that doesn't make you cool. It does it just a painted picture. For instance, you were freezing and I painted you a picture of fire licking and burning like that. And people standing around getting warm. So he's describing this as he's painting a fire for you and people are standing around the painted fire and trying to get warm. That's something that was. You've got to have the fire yourself. What Jesus was then, he is now. Amen. If he was a fire, a warmth to the heart, and a soothing, a shelter in the storm, in the time of storm, he is the same today. Amen. So Brother Branham is describing the fire, being painted from a fire. And that's the attitude I'm talking about here, the Holy Ghost produces. The true Holy Ghost produces godly character. Now, an unholy life and the wrong attitude towards God and His Word can grieve the Holy Ghost, as we read in Ephesians 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Ghost until the day of your redemption. The Holy Ghost will take flight once it's grieved. So it will leave you, but it's still there. It's still present. What you have to do, you have to repent and return to Christ there. So an attitude of hate, bitterness, anger, gossip, backbiting, grieves the Holy Spirit. All these attitudes that we create here. So in order to reconcile with God, you have to ask for repentance. And the Holy Ghost is like a dove. It takes flight. He's not gone too far, but he doesn't dwell in a presence that's not a presence of worship. So in order to restore that worship and fellowship, you have to reconcile with God. Amen. And that's the character of the Holy Ghost will allow you to reconcile with God. Amen. And I'm just going to explain the story a little bit more, as Brother Branham was explaining the painted fire, you know. He's talking about an artist. You can paint a fire here, and we can stand, Brother Jamie, Brother David, Brother Jeremy, we can stand around the fire and try to get warm. When it's cold outside, we say, hey, let's paint a fire and stand around there and try to get warm. That fire will not warm you up. It's a painted fire. It's a figure of the real thing. Now, the Holy Ghost is a true fire. It's an anointing. It's a true fire. It's the real thing. You know, in order to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to become one with it. So your life has to dovetail with that spirit. It has to become one. And it has to live within you. You know, a lot of people have a sensation, a feeling, an emotion. But you have to have the life and the experience with Christ. That's what produces the true character of God. So that life and that anointing. Amen. Amen. And attitude is also a form of expectation. You know, this morning, many of you woke up and came to the service. But what was your expectation? You know, many times we come to the service, we don't know who's speaking many times. Sometimes we do. And maybe it's not your favorite minister, your favorite speaker, or maybe it's not a day you wanted to go to church to. But do you have an expected heart? Amen. to receive from the Lord whatever he has. Because God is using human vessels. No matter what we think, no matter who we are, God still uses human vessels. And that's the avenue God works through. You know, we still have our faults and mistakes and our failures. God didn't take that away from us. Even when the Holy Spirit comes, you still have those things. You know, Brother Branham was talking about the story of a young fellow that got saved, you know, and he received the Holy Ghost and he was walking. He used to be a drug addict, used to be a guy that would go around into the clubs and enjoy the livelihood of the world. And he was walking with the Holy Ghost and he was walking down the road and he passed an old club that he used to go into, you know. And inside of him, his desire was to go there. But the Holy Ghost in him didn't want to do that, you know. So Brother Branham was explaining that story, that even though you have the Holy Ghost, you still have these attributes that are trying to attract you, worldly attributes that are trying to attract you. So you have to build a wall of defense and get united with the Word, and that fire will burn out all those desires of the world. Amen. Amen. So that person was still tempted, even with the Holy Ghost. He had to make that decision as a human still to resist what the enemy was trying to allow him to do. Because Brother Branham explained further, he said, if that man would go in the club there and just start getting on the dance floor and start moving his feet to the beat of the music, he'd get caught up in that spirit and influence, and eventually he'd find himself on the dance floor because he didn't guard the spirit from entering into that place. Mm-hmm. So the attitude you have, you know, is a vital point into receiving the Holy Ghost and the life of the Holy Ghost, you know. Amen. We still have human frailties. We have somebody do us wrong. We build up anger. Some backbiting, backstabbing, some bitterness, and then those things grieve the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost takes flight, you know. And as a Christian and a believer, that's not the attitude we should create. As Brother Branham said, and the Word says, you know, if all possible, live peacefully with all men. And if somebody does you wrong, pray for them. Amen. Don't take them out your circle. Put them back in your circle and pray for them. Say the Lord loves you and is still there for you. You know, love is a great, great force. It's the most powerful force ever created, as Brother Branham said. Amen. Now, character is a victory, not a gift. So how do you reconcile with the Holy Spirit of God? How do you come back in fellowship and in union with God? A true confession and fellowship with Christ restores the believer with Christ. And character is a suffering. You get character through suffering. Character is produced in the battlefield. And us as humans, we slack sometimes and we become complacent. We don't want to fight no more. But that Holy Ghost fire within you will rise up as a believer and say, I'll continue to fight this battle. And press towards the mark of the high calling. And a true soldier off the cross rises up every time he falls. Amen. Brother Bram said, and the scripture says, even if you fall 20 times, 30 times, 100 times, rise back up and fight the battle again. Amen. No matter what comes your way, rise up and fight again. Because we are in a battle, we're not in a picnic. Amen. This is the Christian battle that we have been called to. And It's grace that has been given to us. Unmerited favor. Amen.
Amen.
And the character produces the life of Christ, which then gives us as believers the authority to believe God's word and speak God's word. You know, the battles we face sometimes are tough, but we have the right and we have been given the authority to speak against that. Resist the enemy and he will flee, as the Bible says. Resist him daily, not only one time. You got to resist the enemy hourly, every day, every morning, every night. When you wake up, as I heard a man say one time, when you take your feet off the bed, right when you put your feet down, Satan's right there. He's ready to fight you in the morning. So you've got to get on your knees. And Brother Bram said, I believe a man that has a lot of callous on his knees, that's a man that's been with God, you know, praying, seeking the Lord. You know, every time you wake up, Satan's right there. He's waiting. He's waiting to throw a battle in front of your way, throw resistance, make you a little bit tired, say you can't do this, you won't do this, you're not this, you're a failure, you're this. Stand against him and allow the Lord to start out your day by going on your knees and praying, and then breaking every bond that the enemy tries to create against you. Amen. So character in the Smyrna church ages, Brother Branham talks about character here. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when it comes.
Amen.
Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. So trials and tribulation produces the character of Christ. But then when you suffer with him, you can reign with him. Because there's a crown awaiting the believer of Christ.
Amen.
You know? And what more can you do in this world than allow someone else to go with you to heaven? You know? We are not exclusive Christians. That I find that a lot around the bride and sometimes around Christianity, where people exclude me and no other. Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. So he allowed them to see his life. He didn't associate with them. He didn't enter into some of their desires and sin. But he reflected the life of Christ. They say, arise and let thy light shine. And expose your life to these sinners. Because we are all sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
We are all sinners saved by grace. None is worthy. None was ever worthy. It's Christ's favor that made us worthy. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Amen. So many times we exclude. I want to include.
Amen.
Include someone. Take them to glory with you. What better thing to have in heaven than a lot of stars on your crown.
Amen.
That you took a soul to heaven with you. That is a blessing. Amen. Now, victory, as the song was saying, oh, victory in Jesus, our Savior. Victory is ours. And when it comes to receive your victory rights, you do not discuss with Satan. A lot of us, sometimes, Satan overpowers, you know, and we have the right and authority, but we start bargaining with the enemy and Satan. He says, oh, okay, you can do this. Yes, I can. Oh, I wouldn't do that. A believer doesn't bargain with the enemy. He speaks the word of God and he's with the authority and power that has been given to his bride and moves forward. Amen. Amen. And that's what we need more. More authority, more of his word, and speak to the enemy and move forward. Amen. Brother Branham said, why cry, speak? Just speak the word, believe it, and you'll receive it. Amen. Amen. You take your victory by force, and fear is associated with battles sometimes. We get fearful. Fear comes from unbelief and doubt, and fear doesn't accompany faith. The God of faith, the God of impossibilities, removes every doubt of fear, of worry. You know, we've got to speak and use our authority that has been given to us, you know. When an officer goes out in his job and work field, you know, he's been given the badge of authority. It's right there on his uniform, you know, maybe on the hat too. So, and then he has the vehicle that resembles that. So that the officer doesn't wake up and say, oh, man, today I don't know if I can use my authority or if I'm going to be able to use what I have. No, he believes in that authority that has been given to him by the state and government to use and enforce the right that he has. So if he pulls you over and he turns the lights on, you have no discussion. You have to pull over. He has authority that has been given to him. Amen. Now, the believer has been given authority from above, from heaven. Amen. And why do we neglect to use our authority against Satan? Amen. Speak it and move forward. Amen. God's going to move based upon your confession. Amen. So you confess and then you allow God to move. Amen. 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 And victory comes through pain. The pain in you is forming the image of God. You know, God is an artist. Amen. And I'm going to try to explain to you a little bit about the artist God is, the great artist he is. You are the image of God in this world. That seal, that image. You are that image to this world, to this dying world. Every day you walk, every day you wake up, you have a light representing you. There's a divine light walking with you. There's an angel accompanying you everywhere you go. So why should we fear? Amen. God is in control. Be confident and know there is victory in Jesus. And I wrote it down here as the song says, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever, victory, faith is victory. Amen. That song was truly inspiring. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Door to the Heart, 1958, January 12th in the evening. I'm going to read this here. In the book of Revelations of Jesus Christ, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse, I wish to read this portion. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me.
Amen.
This is a most striking text of the scripture. There's something about it that each time when I read it, it just thrills my heart. It's a picture of the Lord knocking at the door. I cannot call in your memory at this time the picture of the artist that the picture was painted by him of this event. But all famous pictures before they can ever be put in the Hall of Fame, they first have to go through the critics. And then when they have passed through the critics, then they go into the Hall of Fame. That's the way it is with the church. God is painting a picture of a beautiful, holy church. And before it can ever be taken from the earth to the Hall of Fame in the palace of God, it first must pass down the line of the critics. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Blessed are you when you men shall say all manner of evil about you, falsely for my name's sake. The world is saying all evil about you for your name's sake. But you're passing through the hall of critics. They're just criticizing. We're going into the palace of God. Amen. In heaven. He has a place awaiting you. He said, I go to my Father and I come back for you. But he has sent us the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which is allowing us to continue this journey to meet our Heavenly Father. Amen. And this artist painted the picture of Jesus knocking at the door. When it went through the critics, one rose and said, Sir, there's just one thing I can find wrong with the picture. That is, you don't have any latch on the door. And the artist said, Oh, I painted it that way. He said, The door is the door to the heart. And the latch is on the inside. He wants to come in. That's the reason for knocking. Many great men in this great wide world and in its years that it's existed has knocked on doors. And I'm thinking now, what would take place if the great Caesar would have come down to the door of a peasant and knocked at the door? When the peasant opened the door and could have seen who it was knocking, he would have probably prostrated himself on the floor and said, Welcome, great Caesar. Just come into my house and honor me by coming into my humble abode. And whatever you find in you that your heart's desire, take it for it's yours. What would have taken place if the late Adolf Hitler would have come down to the door of one of his soldiers and would have knocked at the door, and the soldier looking out and would have seen that it was the great Führer of Germany? The soldiers would have swung open the door and stood at attention and saluted the great German Führer and asked him to come in. And anything you want in my house, take it, it's yours. If Hitler would have said, I'll take that golden clock sitting on the wall for a souvenir, though no matter how valuable it would have been, the soldier would have been honored to give him, to have given such as that to the German Führer. You know the reason it's importance of the person at your door. When an important person comes to visit you, there's not a good Democrat in all of Chicago tonight, but what would feel highly honored if President Dwight Eisenhower knocked on his door. Though he differed with him in politics, yet he is the President of the United States of America. He's an important man. And just any good Democrat would appreciate it. The honor of having the President of the United States, President Dwight Eisenhower, to knock at his door. He would say, Come in, sir, and anything that I can do to make you comfortable while you're here, enter in. His heart would have been thrilled to know that the President of the United States was knocking at his door. For he would know that the President had a mission for him. Or something to tell him. Or he would have been knocking at the door. Now this story is explaining Adolf Hitler going to his soldier's house and knocking at the door and showing an example of a president coming to visit you. You know, if President George Bush, President Obama, President Donald Trump, you know, they're human, but they have a high level in the world. You know, if he rose up today and decided to come to any one of y'all's home, you'd be very thrilled. You'll be excited. You'll be on top of the world, well, I got the president coming to see me. You'll be telling all your friends, your companions, your associates, hey, you know what? I got the president coming to my place this weekend. You can come over, man. It's going to be exciting. You're really thrilled. You're going to get the best outfit, the best attire that you can ever find. You're going to go shop for it. If it takes you 5-6 hours, you're going to say, man, I need to find the best attire for this president. It's coming to my place. The example of this story is showing that, you know, every day we have the opportunity for Christ to visit us. Amen. But we neglect that. Amen. You know, a natural man coming to visit you, the president of the United States, makes you prepare so much. Even if you don't like him, even if you disagree with him, you still will invite him into your home. Amen. Because he's the president of the United States. You'll even say, let me take a picture, a selfie, you know. We live in a selfie world. Let me take a selfie with the president. But how much more should we be excited this morning that the God of heaven above has come down and desired to fellowship with his bride? He's more excited than seeing a natural man. That's a natural man who can pass away, but the Lord Jesus Christ is everlasting. Amen. He's always in our heart. He's always present. We don't have to worry and fear. He's always there. So I want to invite Jesus into my home, you know, into my heart, the temple of my heart, you know. That's where the word is growing. The heart is like a bedding ground. You know, when you want to plant seeds or plant a flower, you create the bedding ground. And then you put the seeds, and then you got to water it for it to produce. Now, the heart is our bedding ground. That's where the word comes in. You have to make your heart ready. Your heart has to be prepared for the word to come and grow in there. Amen. So once the word comes in, then it grows with the water of the word by constantly renewing the word in our hearts. Amen. So I want to always welcome Jesus. You know, he always makes his appointments. He never misses his appointments, but we miss ours sometimes. But he's still a merciful God. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost brings praise too, you know. As Christians, sometimes we limit our praise to our Heavenly Father. He deserves all the praise, more than enough, you know. I heard an audio one time of a man that praised the Lord. It's called "That's My King." He described the Lord for about 9 minutes. He was describing all the wonderful things of God. He's a merciful God. He's a wonderful. He's a savior. He's a healer. He's the mighty God. But at the end, he couldn't describe the Lord. He described him so much. He said he's indescribable. God is indescribable. You cannot describe him. He's more than what we need him to be. And he's always with us. We've got to be thankful for that. Amen. And Holy Ghost brings praise. The seal of God, it brings a praise in your heart. You worship, you're excited about what God's doing. God's doing something for his people. Amen. And we've got to be excited and enthused about it. Many times we think about what somebody else is going to think. Sometimes in church, and you know, I've spoken to some brothers. Sometimes they want to worship and praise the Lord, but they want to contain themselves. But the Holy Ghost doesn't get out of control. The Holy Ghost will keep you in order in the Word. So the praise and worship allows you to stay in order with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you don't want to be unapologetic about your praise. Be unapologetic. You know, many of us are a little bit stiff. You know, I don't know what that brother's going to think, sister's going to think. when it comes to praising the Lord, you've got to go all out. Praise Him and worship Him. You know, He's done more than enough for us. And He'll never exhaust God's blessings. God's blessings are like the ocean. You can drain the ocean dry, but you'll never exhaust God's blessings. It's wonderful. It's everlasting. It's continuous. It's infinite blessings. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
The gift of the true Holy Ghost pardons you from sin. You were a sinner before, but the Holy Ghost pardons you from sin. And then the Holy Ghost gives you understanding of the Word and what God is. As our brother Kidri preached last time, God and His people misunderstood. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't understand God. He's a supernatural being. A supernatural being is only understood with the Spirit of God. Because the natural mind is limited. And it always understands natural things. But in order to see the supernatural, you have to have the Holy Ghost, and the supernatural will be revealed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the gift of the Holy Ghost pardons you from sin.
Amen.
A pardon, you can go on, brother. Mm-hmm. A pardon is not a pardon if it's not received as a pardon. I'm checking my time here, too. If you are desperate enough, you will seek the pardon God has provided. Desperation brings God on the scene, and then you receive your pardon. Many times we don't get desperate enough. You know, we just praise the Lord a few minutes, and we're done. You know, being desperate means pressing. The little lily that, the beautiful lily that you always see, the lily pads and all that, they press through the ground, through the concrete, to express themselves. They have a battle. You know, that lily pad you see there went through a lot to become a beautiful lily. So press the battle. Get desperate in front of God, and God will bless you. He definitely will give you a blessing, you know.
Amen. Amen,
I'm winding down here. In the message 1956, Yuri M., I said a pardon is not a pardon. A pardon is a pardon if it's not received as a pardon. That's the only way you get a pardon. You have to receive it. It's given. I think it's been there this whole time, but it's up to you as a person to receive that pardon that God has given. You know, He displays it and He lays it out for you. Brother Bram's explaining a story of a pardon. He said years ago, there was a case tried that in federal courts of our land, the United States, a man had committed a crime, and the governor of the state had sentenced him to be shot and to be killed by public execution. And while the man was in prison waiting his time of execution, someone interceded to the governor until the governor found reasons to pardon this man. The governor wrote just a little line on a piece of paper and signed his name, "This man is pardoned, Governor so-and-so." And when it was brought to the man, showed him by his attorney, he said, "I will not receive it. A pardon's got more to it than that. I believe it's bogus. Therefore, I believe someone's trying to put something over on me." How that the devil says that same thing to the church tonight. The Bible's misinterpreted, and it doesn't mean the same. It was only for another generation. But oh, my friend, let me say this tonight. It's for whosoever will. Let him come. Just as forceful tonight as it was the night that it fell, or the day it fell from his lips. The man, by rejecting this pardon because it wasn't enough, rode out. The man then, to reject it, was executed the next morning. And then here is the governor's pardon, and here is the man executed after the governor has signed the pardon. So it was tried in federal court, and the decision came to this. And I want every one of my listeners tonight to think this real seriously. And with the decision of the federal court of our land and the Supreme Court, rather, of our land, made this decision, here's what it said. A pardon is not a pardon if it's not received as a pardon. And God's pardoning grace, God's divine healing, is the property of every believer if it's received as that. But if it's turned down, then it's of non-effect. God is not guilty because he offered it to you. God has offered you a pardon. This, the summary of the story, just to elaborate, if I was reading there, I'm going to try to explain it. The man was going to be executed the next morning. His friend went out and got a pardon for him from the governor, you know. But the governor wrote on a sheet of paper, "I, Governor so-and-so, pardon this man." And they gave the man the pardon and showed it to him, but he didn't want to accept it. He wanted maybe a nice letterhead with the governor's name and state, "Oh, I pardon you so-and-so." He didn't want to receive a pardon. And it was ruled in the Supreme Court that a pardon is not a pardon if it's not received as a pardon. The man denied the pardon that was given to him because he didn't believe that it was some great pardon. And he died the next morning. What about the believer today? God has given you the pardon, his Holy Ghost seal. He's given it to you. He's offered it to you. They say your God is not guilty for what happens. It's right here for you. It's there daily. You just have to have the right attitude, have the character of God, and then the victory.
Amen.
Fight the battle. He's offered it to you.
Amen.
Take it, accept it,
Amen.
And believe it. Now, this Holy Ghost journey that we are on, the seal of God, it takes us to the back parts of God's mind, back into God's mind. And it will take us out of darkness into light, out of time into eternity, and out of death unto life. So this Holy Ghost journey we are traveling, which has pains, creates character, has sometimes different attitudes that we have to face. But it's taking us to eternity, out of time into eternity, out of darkness into light, and out of death unto life.
Amen.
Death is the one thing that hasn't been conquered. But in Jesus Christ, death is conquered.
Amen.
Where's the sting of death? Death has no sting to a believer.
Amen.
It's just another transition to our heavenly home. Into my theophany body. That's where I'm going. Amen.
Amen.
Death is just leading me
Amen.
To Christ.
Amen.
It's just a transition.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't fear death. Fear the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fear death. Because death has no hold on a believer. Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this Holy Ghost also produces the new birth. You have it within. As Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and he asked, "Can a man go into his mother's womb and be born again?" You see, Nicodemus was asking the question naturally. He had a natural mind. He didn't understand the spiritual things. He couldn't go beyond that because he was a natural man, the Pharisee, so he was of a natural descent. If he had the Holy Ghost Spirit, Nicodemus would have understood what God was talking about. Not going back into your mother's womb again. He's talking about born again of the Spirit, life of Christ. That's what he meant there. So the Holy Ghost is important, the seal of God. It's important to have because the believer understands the Word of God.
Amen.
In Christ, the mystery of God revealed you. Brother Bram talks about the new birth. You're the messenger of the hour is telling us this. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together? Where's the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God's expressing it through His Word by the same action, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go. When it knows what it is. Now notice, you say, Brother Branham, but that ain't, oh yes, it's true. It is the truth. Did you notice Paul never knew Jesus physically? Paul never knew Him. The only way that Paul knew Him was by a revelation, by a vision. Is that right? Congregation says amen. Paul only knew Jesus by the revelation, just like Peter did. Peter had seen Him in the flesh, but he didn't know Him by flesh because Jesus said so. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Even my own life didn't reveal it to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed the things to you that He is the Word of God. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Peter didn't know Him by flesh. Man walked and handled Him and everything else. So, Peter didn't know Him by flesh. He knew Him by the Spirit.
Amen.
Paul didn't know Christ
Amen.
By flesh, physically. He knew Him by His Spirit. And the new birth produces the revelation of Jesus Christ. It gives you that anointing to see the Word of God. You know, many times as believers, when we first get into the message or some new message believer, you don't tend to understand many things. I was the same way when I was young. I used to read the spoken word, and I just put it aside. I said, I don't know what I'm reading. And my dad would encourage me to continue to read. And as time went on, and then dwelling under the Spirit, that's why you have to have that Spirit, and constantly water the Spirit of the Word. The revelation started coming by itself, naturally. God gives revelation, not man. Amen. And when God reveals that to you, it's sovereign. He comes down and shows you His Word. To many people today, they don't understand some of the things we see. But God, out of His own mercy and love, has extended revelation, love, grace, a pardon to you. He didn't have to come down from glory to you and I, but He chose to do so.
Amen.
So that we can receive the redemption by His blood. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. I thank God that He came down and He started to pardon us from our sin, because without Him we'd be lost for sure. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to read this in closing here. A word to the church. In Christ, the mystery of God revealed. 1963, July 28th. I don't know if any of y'all have had this or ever read it. Some churches put it inside the church bulletin there. But it's a beautiful thing, Brother Bram says. A word to the church. I trust we are God's people in the church of God. Yeah, I'm talking to the bride of Christ here. It's really an honor to come up and talk to the bride of Christ. Whenever I come up, you know, I have to be very careful what I say, what I share with God's people, a royal priesthood, a holy people, and it's an honor to come in front of God's people. Amen.
Amen.
A word to the church. Love one another above everything. Love one another. Don't, no matter what the devil tries to say, now you're all one great, big, sweet group now. But remember my warning. See, Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything if he has to bring somebody in to make his target. He'll bring some critic or unbeliever in, set him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. Then he will shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff, and he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right loving and sweet and kind to one another. Pray for that man that he'll be safe too, or that woman, ever who it is. Just pray for them and stick one with another and stay with your pastor. See, he's the shepherd, and you give him respect. He'll lead you through, and cause he's ordained of God to do so. A pastor is a very precious person, you know. He has to always care for his sheep. His sheep is always in his heart, no matter what. You're always on Brother John's heart, I know. Amen. Now, do you remember that? The enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Don't never clan among one another or talk or make yourself clannish. We are one. So Satan sometimes brings distraction, you know, because there's three types of believers: make believer, unbeliever, and true believer. And sometimes he tries to create discord within the people. But you don't entertain that. You pray much more and stick much closer to each other. Amen. And make that great pillar of fire that cannot be defeated. Amen. Because we all bring our lick of fire when we come into the service. Amen. And I trust you. You rekindling and burning that lick of fire every day. Amen. I couldn't say left hand, I'm mad at you. I'm going to take you away because you're not a right hand. So he's saying, I can't tell my left hand, hey, I'm going to take you away because I'm mad at you. I just need my right hand. No, you need your left and right. You need every part of your body. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want it to stay right there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right there, exactly with one another, right it with one another. And now you've got tapes on that. You've got tapes on what we believe. You got tapes on discipline in the church, how we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we got to come here together and set together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open. Amen. Out yonder, to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time you got to praying. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exhorted us to much more, as we see the day approaching, to love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. That's right. Stay right together. If the brother you think is a little wrong, or the sister, say, Lord, don't let me have the root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him. And it'll take the Christ right out of your life, the root of bitterness. Not even the attitude of bitterness. He said the root. Just a little root will take Christ out of your life, because you keep feeding that root of bitterness over and over and over, instead of praying and forgiving and moving forward. So attitude is very important. Amen. That poison acid of malice and jealousy and hatred, that just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It'll run him from the tabernacle here. it'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from you, hurt your pastor, it'll do everything. See, don't you do that. You just wax that much closer together, draw up, take the buckle, as the brother testified, a minister here the other night, about having a buckle, seeing it in a vision. The buckle's on the whole armor of God. Just put it on. Tighten up. Move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about the one another, and then God will bless you. Amen. Amen. I trust that was a blessing to you. Amen. So attitude can take the Holy Ghost away from you. Then you don't have the character, and then you don't have the victory. We want to have the right attitude, because the right mental attitudes towards of God, towards the Word of God, will produce the promise and bring it to pass. And I pray that was a blessing to you all.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
I trust, amen.
Praise the Lord.
I trust the seal of God is a part of your life.
Amen.
Every day, every morning, every hour of the day, may you wake up with that seal and know that it's guiding you until the day of your redemption. And try not to grieve that Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because it's like a dove. A dove is sensitive. The most sensitive bird is a dove. You just move a little bit, it takes flight. So the Holy Spirit is a symbol of a dove. And you want to be sensitive, create the atmosphere. As Brother Tim was saying, it's important. You know, many times we don't do it. Many times we neglect. Sometimes situations come up where you can't make it into the service on time or 30 minutes earlier. But Brother Branham does recommend that, and ministers do recommend that. It puts you in the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Word. You know, yesterday I was doing my own thing and kind of around the house, and then when Brother John called me, you know, my mind was, okay, I'll maybe one day again the Lord will provide the opportunity. So it all of a sudden he just called me, and then my mind had to alternate to worship. So I had to create that atmosphere. So the whole day yesterday I was creating that atmosphere of worship, getting prepared for God's people. Because once you create that atmosphere, even before you get in the church or even in your car, it allows you to be in sync with the Spirit. Amen. And I believe God really moved in a mighty way in the song service and the people here tonight. Yeah. Amen. Brother Tim, you can come on up. We'll try to sing a song, and the musicians.
Amen.
I heard a song yesterday, Blessed Assurance, All Is Well. All is well. We have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well. But we'll try to sing that song, All Is Well, and then Blessed Assurance. Let me try and find it here. Okay. Amen. Let's just pray for our sister. Let me get this.
Lord.
Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, the same yesterday and forever, Lord. Our sister has an infirmity, your Lord, that is upon her body, Lord. You created this body. You created our life. You've given us life, liberty, and freedom, Lord. We find that in the Word of God. Lord, the enemy attacks our body, Lord, and we have the right to resist the enemy and allow him to flee. Lord, our sister, Lord Jesus, has a need on her heart, Lord. You are still the great healer, the God Almighty. You heal our bodies. You deliver us, Lord Jesus. You set us free. Lord, I pray that your anointing comes down now and touch her life, Lord Jesus. Restore her infirmity back to normal, Lord Jesus. And restore her health, Lord Jesus. May you eradicate the wrist problem, Lord. By your stripes, we are healed, Lord. And we proclaim the victory, Lord. We thank you for doing it, Lord. And we bless your name. Satan, you have no right in God's people. We rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Return to the kingdom of darkness right now. May the kingdom of light come down and supply the blessings, Lord. We thank you. We glorify your name, Lord. And we want to praise you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He's still a healer. Amen. He's still the Almighty. Amen. Praise God. You just got to believe him. Accept it and believe it. He's still on the throne. Amen. Praise the Lord Almighty. Amen. Number 176, Blessed Assurance. Amen. Do you have that blessed assurance that Jesus is yours? Amen. He's always yours. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Praise him, hallelujah. Angels descending, rain from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Blessed assurance, hallelujah. This is my story. This is my song. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, hallelujah. Perfect submission, all is rest, all is well, hallelujah. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting. Luke, hallelujah, I'm looking for him, waiting for him, hallelujah. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song.
Hallelujah.
Praising my Savior.